I'm really happy to report that we did get that bill from Congress, and we have locked our organization into place and are moving ahead now with some other needed reviews and efforts to prepare us to better serve the country.
How are you reorganizing, especially in light of the evolving mission since 9/11?
Part of it is we have what we call maritime safety and security teams. We received 13 of those teams. They're about 85 people per team. They're strategically deployed around the country, and I would characterize them as, for most of you or listeners would recognize, as waterborne SWAT teams. They provide security for moving and fixed zone security events. They've been so successful for us that we've actually built an enhanced team down in Chesapeake, Virginia, that can do a little bit more high-end activities in terms of security operations. And, in fact, that's been so successful, we've got direction from Congress to put a second enhanced team on the West Coast, which we're working on right now. But also, we're trying to rebuild our traditional Coast Guard equipment, our Coast Guard cutters, which provide a layered response to security for the country, cruising out in our exclusive economic zone, hundreds of miles offshore, intercepting potential threats as they come towards the country, protecting our fisheries, and intercepting illegal migrants and drugs as they try to approach our shores.
And I wanted to follow up, too, on the idea of the recapitalization, because Deepwater now goes back some years. It's had fits and starts. What's the status of it right now?
Well, you know, we don't often talk about Deepwater anymore, or the term Deepwater, because what that did was it brought a whole bunch of recapitalization projects together. At the time that we devised this, we were really in some severe budget problems in the late 90s, prior to 9/11. And having difficulty getting these projects off to a start, rebuilding ships and aircraft that were really coming to block obsolescence. So we aggregated them together, which ended up we were able to sell it post 9/11 and start getting funding for it. But it really proved to be sort of an unmanageable effort when you had all those things aggregated together. So we've disaggregated it into separate shipbuilding, patrol boat programs, and aircraft. It is extremely successful at this point. Just with our national security cutter alone, we have three out there and operating right now. We're building the fourth. We have full funding for the fifth, and I think we'll be announcing shortly the award of the contract for the fifth. And I'm very hopeful we'll get the sixth cutter in the next year's budget. And we're working towards a total of at least eight of the national security cutters. And by the way, they are operating superbly. Even the Navy has complimented us on how well those ships are working.
We are talking with Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Robert Papp. And shifting from sea to land, we're thinking about the move to the St. E's headquarters for DHS. What is the progress report on that?
Well, I would say the Coast Guard portion of moving to St. Elizabeth is going very well. I actually live over on Joint Base Anacostia Bowling, so every night when I go home from our current Coast Guard headquarters, which is next to Fort McNair, I drive by the construction site. And actually, I'm looking across the river from my office right now towards the construction site, and you can see the building shaping up on the hillside at St. Elizabeth's. The Clark Construction Company is working on that, and I've heard they're actually ahead of schedule. So we are scheduled to move into our first dedicated Coast Guard headquarters in 221 years of our history in the spring of 2013, and it looks like we are on target for that. The challenge, though, I think, will be getting the entire department over there, which was the goal originally, I think still is the goal, but with the constrained budgets that we're facing here over the next couple of years, I think the move of some of the other components might be getting pushed to the right a little bit. So it may take a little bit longer to get the entire department there.
So let's talk about 9/11 and the role of the Coast Guard and the evolution since 9/11, because being Commandant, you were probably part of the Coast Guard way before 9/11, and we don't need to know exactly how many years. But what does it look like from your perspective now versus the Coast Guard pre-9/11?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, and I'm not embarrassed to say that I've been with the Coast Guard almost four decades now and proud of it, and so it's given me a great view in terms of the evolution of our service. And really, prior to 9/11, we were a shrinking service. We were down to about 35,000 uniformed individuals in the Coast Guard, and that was up from in the early 90s. We had a little over 40,000. We've built back up to 43,000 right now, and I could tell you that we need each and every one of those Coast Guard people, because there's really more mission around than we've got people to do it. But we do the best we can, and we set priorities, and we attack things with vigor. But sometimes the priorities change from day to day. So we can't do all our missions 100%, but we always apply our forces to the ones that are most important. And certainly the security operations since 9/11 have become very important to us, because we know the vulnerabilities of our ports. We know that our enemies have the potential for causing disruption in our ports. And it's really important to the American people to know that 95% of the imports that come into this country come by sea and into these critical ports, and that any disruption in that process means jobs, it means prices, and really has a huge impact on our economy.
Where do you see it going from here? What are some of the big priorities for the coming year?
The biggest priority is, how do we continue to balance our operations, which I've already acknowledged. We can't do 100% all the time, but we'll do the best we can across the mission set. But when I look at the federal budget, and in particular the Coast Guard budget, where do I put that breakpoint? At some point, I'm going to get a top line from the administration that I have to fit all Coast Guard operations into, and how do I divide that between sustaining our field operations and also rebuilding the Coast Guard at the same time? Building ships and aircraft are expensive. There's just no way of getting around that. And to whatever money I shift to rebuilding the Coast Guard comes at the expense of current day operations. So we've been able to find the balance over the last couple of years. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to find the balance into the future, but just reading the tea leaves in terms of the budget constraints, it's going to be tougher each year.